Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Rum and Regret Podcast. I am Andy Drake.
Johanna Myers.
Nate Tussie, and we drink and we know things.
Today is Thursday, July 30th, and we are going to talk The Old Guard on Netflix.
Yes. So badass.
This is a movie that just kind of sort of came up out of nowhere. I had zero reference for it. I had no idea that, you know, that they were even making this. So no, until the movie dropped on Netflix, sort of a Bird Box situation, saying, hey, this movie's available, check it out. And of course, if Charlize is there, you gotta see it.
We are all on board.
I thought you were gonna say Nate's there, because it's not, I mean, they're not, it's not a lie either way. So you're,
well, okay, this is brunette Charlize too, so you're
Hey, I was trying to break the mold. I put Atomic Blonde on my list. Right? Yeah. Which I think she's still a brunette in that movie. It's a wig.
Yeah. But. Good for you, Nate. You're growing.
yes. Growing as a person.
I'm not completely selfish and, what is it, shallow. It's she has layers to her, and those layers are a wig.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Aw.
But for those who don't know, The Old Guard is actually a series of comic book graphic novels written by Greg Rucka, who wrote Lazarus. He also wrote a Wonder Woman arc, illustrated by Leandro Fernandez, who has some Marvel ties with Deadpool and Punisher. And the basic sort of premise is The Old Guard are a sort of an undying group of warriors that... are battling, I guess, with immortality, but then sort of become this just incredible sort of for hire hit squad that are just way too, just a super awesome, I mean, without giving too much away, but we're going to spoil the shit out of it anyway, like we always do.
Let me give you the quick byline I've got here. It's one
sentence.
There you
go. Yeah.
So, the Old Guard, a group of mercenaries, all centuries-old immortals with the ability to heal themselves, discover someone is onto their secret and they must fight to protect their freedom.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun.
let's just dig into it, and let's start with Joe. Joe, what did you think of it?
I thought it was amazingly awesome. And for, like... the big portion for me was I watched this with my husband, who is in the military.
Yeah.
And this was a militant vampire movie where kind of our two worlds collided. immortals and...
Oh, okay. You said vampire. I was like, wait, what? What did I miss?
Well, immortals.
Spoiler alert, there are no vampires in this movie.
I think vampires and the immortals. So there are immortals in this, but it's also like legit, like militant, military, like.
So you crossed your nerd streams is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's the whole Charlize where both of us were like, wow.
Yes. That's cool. So Ken dug the undead soldier part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everything was done right, according to him.
Oh, that's good.
As far as all the guns and pew-pew.
The lingo and the handling of the weapons.
Yep. I didn't get the, actually, that's not how this goes. And da, da, da. No,
right.
It was all very correct.
Cool. If you had to give it a number rating out of 10...
I would give it probably a 7 out of 10.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Nate. Nate, what
do
you think?
7 out of 10? That's like my high school score. I got a C average in high school. So you're giving my high school performance out of 10. Okay. Killer movie. Nice to have something new in front of us for those of us that weren't familiar with the graphic novels.
Yeah.
Really cool twist on both the kind of military or militant mercenaries with heart kind of thing. A lot of great twists in the actual plot as far as who these people are and what they've done for the world over the years and years and decades and centuries and millennia, apparently. Yeah, really, just really smart, really well directed and really well edited. The stunt work, the choreography with the gunplay was second to none, really. I haven't seen gunplay like that in a long time. I mean, the last movie that had that kind of gunplay impact on me was The Matrix, but that it wasn't even gunplay. That was just cool bullet time stuff.
Right.
This was really like insanely, you know, slow as smooth as fast, get to the point and kill people as quickly as possible. And then the work with the melee weapons also was just really well done.
So cool.
With the swords and axes and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I really liked it a lot. I thought there was a bunch of twists early and then a bunch of cool twists kind of towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the way that they played off that. There wasn't really any slow parts in the movie, that I can recall. And, the villain was great. So no spoilers at all, but the main villain in the movie is a pharmaceutical CEO, basically.
Right.
Let's see.
Big Pharma.
Stephen Merrick is the character name. Harry Melling is the actor. Okay. And just absolutely knocks it out of the park with this like completely self-absorbed, money-hungry techie.
The whole time I was watching this movie, I thought that was the guy from Silicon Valley. Which, if you guys have ever seen it, like both Ken and I were like, it's that guy. What the heck?
No, definitely not him. Chiwetel Ejiofor is really good as one of the supporting cast. I think all of the Mercs actually did a great job. They all had standout acting moments. I don't want to give anything away really with that. Well, I guess we're going to give it away. even the new girl, Kiki Lane is the actress's name. She was great.
Very good.
The new immortal kind of thing. So as a little bit of a deeper overview, these people are immortals, but to a point. Like they have a health bar, like a healing bar. They only have a certain number of heals. And some eventually they just don't heal. And
your Mario star only lasts so long.
Yeah, exactly right. and they have no idea when it's going to run out. It's just one day you stop healing and then you die. And apparently when a new one of these immortals is selected or created or whatever, the rest of them dream about her and the new person about the rest of the old guard until they can find each other. And then they stop dreaming about each other, which I thought was a really cool kind of way to link these people together and bring her into the fold. And I like the fact that she was a soldier in present day. I think it was Afghanistan. I'm not sure exactly where they were.
Right.
And then kind of showing how quickly she gets alienated from her unit and her best friends and the higher ups and just basically gets lied to from jump that, hey, we're just going to send you home for some more tests when you know what that means, the worst possible thing. So then you've got Charlize and all her amazingness. Mm. Yeah. And all her, what's the best verb for that? Or not verb. What's the best adjective for that? Like, she's super long and lengthy. Leggy.
Lithe.
Her lithe is good. There you go.
Yeah,
and all of her Aeon Fluness comes in and kicks everybody's ass.
We'll
I don't want
to later.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I really liked it and love the acting and the action was great. So
nice. If you had to give it a numeral ranking out of 10.
Sure. I don't know. I'd probably go 8.5.
Okay.
I don't think this is an A movie because there's a couple big holes and it's not, you know, it didn't blow me away, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really good, really solid movie, and definitely something everybody should see if they like action and the litheness that is Charlize.
Nice. I have to agree. I have to agree with the room here. This was a fantastic movie. It's always nice to see a comic book movie that isn't sort of one of the big two as well, that is more of sort of an independent you know, and Netflix isn't by any means sort of a shabby independent studio, but, you know, it's just nice to see these more recent comic book series getting these sort of treatments. And again, this ends on a cliffhanger. Hopefully we get more of these movies, which would be fantastic. I'd love to see where it goes. It almost inspired me to buy the collections just to sort of see, you know, if there were any differences or whatnot. Ooh. In this.
Yeah, the graphic novels must be bloody as hell.
Right.
Because this movie is drenched in
blood. Yeah, and that's so... Yeah, I mean, because that's, I did that with Kick-Ass, and when I got the graphic novels for Kick-Ass, I'm like, oh man, if they did not have to sugarcoat the movie, you know, because it is so much more sort of raunchy and bloody and just, I mean, it, like very, very hard R in terms of sort of the content. So I would assume that the Old Guard does a little bit of the same. But yeah. No, again, the action scenes were just on point. Again, you know, you really get that these people are sort of, you know, they take their job seriously, but at the same time, they do get in their little ruts, and they, yeah, and then sure enough, they get this new person that comes in, and it's just such a great concept for a movie. And I thought it was very well done. Like you said, Nate, well acted. I love the twists and turns in it. And again, yeah, I want to see more. Like I want to see more of sort of the beginning, you know. I want to see the old guard. I want to, you know, want to see it when they first started out. Yeah, exactly. But then I want to see where the story goes. I just want more. So I hope that they come back, and I hope that they do make more of these movies, and I hope it does well enough to do it, because, you know, I don't think we get movies like this just so often with it seemingly really, really good source material that you have, you know, I think as of now, 10 volumes out there that could just go, and it would just be great to see. So, yeah, I think I'm in the 8 to 9 range as well. The solid 8.5, I would have to agree with. I'm right there with you. So with that, where does this fall on your sort of favorite Charlize movies of all time?
All time. I didn't even put this on my list because we were talking about it.
Right.
I don't know if we mentioned this at the top of the show, but we're gonna actually go over our top five favorite Charlize movies.
I was hoping to organically move into that discussion.
Actually, in order to do that, you need to set it up at the beginning of the... I'm just kidding.
Professional we ain't.
Where does it fall?
Would this crack your top five?
Yeah, given the list that I have here. I don't know. I don't think so. She's been in some really fucking good movies.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
It's definitely top 10 for me.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, with that, maybe we should just pop into our lists.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw something out there again. I guess, well, let's ask Joe first. Does this make your top 5, top 10 of Charlize movies?
I think it has the potential. Because I only picked 4.
Okay, so there's Charlize. 6 openings, and if it's a top 10 thing. How about you, Andy? Oh, is this in your top 5, top 10?
Well, thinking about it for the 2 minutes I had since I blurted this out.
Yeah, right? Same. Put you on the spot back right there.
She is such a versatile actress in what she does.
Yep.
With movies sort of like Monster... And did you guys see Bombshell, the one that came out, I think, what, a year or 2 years ago?
No, I heard it's great.
I've only seen clips, but I've seen a couple clips of her in it. And, it, you know, she does have this sort of badass action hero to it. But she's so versatile in what she does and the roles that she picks. Like, I don't feel comfortable putting it in the top five. Like, if it's her, like, top five action performances... Mm-hmm. Then definitely yes, fits yep. just top five performances, then no, I'd have to agree with you, Nate, that this is a sort of a top 10 movie, not a top five.
Yep.
So yeah, so that's where I would go with it.
Yep. Yeah, it makes sense. And then just to reiterate what I said in our last podcast, I love the fact that these comic book adaptations or these video game adaptations, all these adaptations are doing really well, and hopefully that'll lead us to a great D&D movie at some point.
Yes.
I'm just going to keep throwing it out in there.
Until it happens, because if you don't
the hell out of it,
if you don't, it will die. And yeah, we do not want it to die. So
then Charlize in D&D would be amazing.
Hell yeah. Oh
my goodness.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Just as long as she doesn't play the gelatinous blob.
Cube, Andy. It has a shape.
Oh, that would be the sexiest gelatinous blob known to man. Right?
It'd be great for her to do the voice of one. That'd be great. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. So yeah, hashtag get Nate hired, and then hashtag make a D&D movie.
Right.
Oh, hashtag Charlize gelatinous blob.
Ooh, she could be Tiamat, like the big dragon queen lady. Ooh.
Look Ooh. Out.
Power and acting ability? No. All right. Yeah.
Let's get I do believe that is for another podcast.
Yes. We call that gravitas.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. So Joe, let's just roll around the horn. What's your sort of top five Charlize?
Top five, which it's more of a top four. So first of all, which I'm going to catch a lot of crap for this, I know, is Aeon Flux, because I love Aeon Flux.
Flu.
Favorite. It's Flux, goddammit.
Flu.
No, it's Flux.
Wrong.
Wrong. We'll fight over this later.
I don't know if you're up to it right now, Joe. I'm sorry. I'm such a shit. Go ahead. Continue, please. I love you.
So this movie should have never been made. I agree with that fully. But she nailed Aeon Flux's character. It's Flux, goddammit.
Yeah. Aeon Flux is very sort of Suicide Squad and Margot Robbie sort of nailing Harley Quinn. Like, the rest of the movie can just go to hell.
Yeah.
But I just want to watch Margot Robbie be Harley Quinn all day.
Yes.
So, I agree with you there. Like I said, her portrayal of Aeon Flu.
Perfect.
It was just right on. It's just so good. Yeah.
So next one for me is...
Wait, I wanted to say something about Aeon Flu.
You can't. You can say something about Aeon Flux.
So I have a GIF of Aeon Flu on my...
I will literally murder you.
And the show has hit a new low. So yeah, for those of us that are old enough, Liquid Television back in the day... was a cool breakup on MTV between the videos. They actually used to play music on MTV. Aeon Flu was a late night, amazing animated series, and crazy, like, erotic and just kind of like on the heavy metal vibe almost, but not quite as revealing because it was MTV. One of my all-time favorite animated anythings. I was stoked when they made this movie, but you guys are right on. Like, the movie was terrible, but she was spectacular.
She nailed it.
Agreed.
Boom. Next, Joe, what do you got?
Next is The Italian Job, which is when I first fell in love with Charlize Theron.
This is on my list as well.
Agreed.
And I know it's again, everybody's going to, but the original... This was a great adaptation, and Stella Bridger was amazing, and she freaking killed it.
I think this movie's better than the original.
I would have to agree.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, with the editing and the cast and directing and stunts, I think it surpasses the original.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to bring this back to Charlize, her opening, well, her opening sequence is her busting the safe with the cops, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then there's the isn't there the tight black tank top safe busting scene?
I will neither confirm nor deny that. I plead the fifth.
Yeah, this is where I sort of I had a crush on Charlize sort of initially when I saw her in the first movie that I saw her in, but this was sort of the one that was like, huh.
This was the one where I was like, I will watch everything this woman's in for the rest of time.
Right. That's exactly. Yeah.
Kind of where it is for me.
I don't think I can get away with saying that. Yeah, agreed. I love this movie all around, but and her performance was great. I don't actually have this on my list to try and mix it up, but it's definitely one of my favorites.
Nice. All right.
Number three for me is Prometheus.
Prometheus. I'm sorry. I'll stop. I was waiting. I was trying to say. Okay. Wait. It could be. It could be the Italian yob.
I love you, but I hate you, Nate.
All right, I'll shut up.
But yes, the Italian yob, Prometheus. So the totally bureaucratic alien version of Charlize is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's in the alien universe. I gotta love it.
Yeah. So what did you think of this movie overall? In terms of its inclusion in the Alien universe.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing. And it was, like, so great to, like, get back into that world. And right. to get, like, you know, all the extra bits of, like, not to spoil it, but Charlize is Weyland's kid.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, it was great.
Yeah, a better sort of prequel storyline than Star Wars.
Yeah.
Wait, weren't there midi-chlorians in this one too?
Right.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I didn't love it as a movie. I thought it was good. I really did like. I needed my Geiger fix for sure.
Yeah.
And they delivered that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Next.
Last one, obviously, is Mad Max.
Yeah.
Oh, Furiosa.
God. Oh man.
Because who doesn't love a badass bald Charlize?
Yeah.
Stealing a huge freaking tanker truck and driving it into the middle of nowhere and taking over everything.
So I don't know if you guys heard this, but there's apparently they're working on a well, actually, damn, we might have talked about this on a podcast, I think, but they're working on a prequel to that Mad Max.
Without her.
Yeah, without her in it.
Yeah. I didn't hear about that.
So is this sort of a Han Solo situation where you're taking the reason why we love Mad Max so much and sort of shitting on it by casting another actor in a really great role?
Well, I hope not, but honestly, I mean, I'll probably catch some shit for this. I loved her portrayal of Furiosa, but that wasn't the whole movie for me.
I mean,
the set design, the costume design, Ed Hardy, not Ed Hardy. What's his name? Tom Hardy. Yeah, I was way off. Fuck you. Ed Hardy makes bad flashy clothing. Sorry. Tom Hardy makes Venom movies. I was way off. I'm sorry. Tom Hardy, all the supporting cast, Zoe Kravitz, Rao, yeah, I mean, fire guitar guy.
Even. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Charlize was a huge part of this movie for me, but the rest of it was just amazing.
The world was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was very cool.
I'm with you. I want to see more of that so badly.
Yeah.
Well, buckle up. See what happens in November.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh God. All right. Joe, do you have anything else or
what was your honorable mention for your
film? Honorable mention, I'm gonna pass it over to Andy because it's The Devil's Advocate.
Oh, nice segue.
God. Well, so Naked Charlize, for one thing.
Wait, what? Hang on.
Yeah. That is the quick tapping Google fingers of Nate Tussey.
One handed on you.
Oh, yeah. So this is on my list, Devil's Advocate. This is a movie that I just love. This is so classic early Keanu. Just really great cast all around. But and then Al Pacino as the devil and right. And then but she plays his sort of Southern Belle wife that gets sort of overtaken by the devil, and it's such a great sort of crazy role for her. And it's a movie that I love just to watch because it's a cool movie, but at the same time, you know, the addition of Charlize does not hurt.
She's got a great ass.
Yeah.
He's an absentee landlord. Sorry, I got a couple more. I totally agree, man. See, the Southern Belle Charlize hooked me immediately.
Oh man,
those are like my two weaknesses.
Yeah,
Charlize Theron. No, yeah, definitely the Southern Belle thing was great. And then she acted the shit out of this movie. I don't know if she won an award for it or not, because it might have been a little early in her career for it. But from going from this, newly engaged or new wife Southern Belle, kind of housekeeper, housemaker type person, to getting thrown into the big city and then kind of getting tossed in with all the possessed lawyer wives.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, God, she acted the hell out of this.
Yeah.
And it was so good. I totally agree. And then, yeah, for every other reason, this movie's amazing.
Yeah. Does she have any Oscars?
Yeah, she won for Monster.
Oh, of course. Yeah, she won for Monster. Duh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she has a ton of nominations too for Oscars, Golden Globes, and other things. Yeah, cool.
All right. I'll keep rolling with my list. So the first time that I ever saw her, well, and this this is how shallow I was back then. One of the reasons I wanted to see 2 Days in the Valley was because of her trailer part. She's in this like blue jumpsuit or something, and this is like this is 1996. This movie didn't do well because this was sort of a trying to be Pulp Fiction sort of movie, but it was after Pulp Fiction, so it was sort of not, you know, just it didn't sort of live up to the hype. But it's actually a really fun movie, and I love this movie. And again, having her in it, looking as she does, is so good. But
you just sold me on it.
Right.
God, that's crazy. It doesn't even look anything like her now.
No, it really doesn't. And another sort of like cameo sort of role that she had in another movie was That Thing You Do, where she plays the drummer's girlfriend who leaves him for the dentist. Mm-hmm. and yeah, it's sort of like a forgotten role of hers. That Thing You Do is one of my favorite movies. I would say
pretty much a perfect movie.
Yeah, definitely like one of my sort of top 10 movies, just from, if I can call myself a musician, I it's just that sort of that great sort of what if one hit wonder story. And yeah, she doesn't really offer a whole lot but it was just, it was just such a fun sort of little bit part for her that I just thought was great. And then my next movie on here is A Million Ways to Die in the West. So Seth MacFarlane can do a little wrong by me. Thanks. And I don't know. Him and Charlize next to each other, you can tell that they just had a lot of fun making this movie. And I've watched, sort of special features and interviews around this movie of them sort of together. And you can just tell that they really dug it. And this even led to a cameo of hers in The Orville.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which was so good. And I don't know. A Million Days to Die in the West is, again, it's such a good, I don't know. It's a fun, doesn't really take itself seriously at any point. during the movie, and just the the mustache song. I love the mustache.
I need to watch that movie again. I remember it being really fun the first time. Oh,
God. And the, even the fair, everybody dies at the fair. I love it. Yeah, and no, and Charlize is, again, just so good in that movie. She plays the outlaw's wife, Liam Neeson's wife. And but yeah, then she takes a shine to Seth MacFarlane's character, and it's yeah, it's just one of those movies that if it's on, I'm gonna watch it. If it's there, I see it on. Unless it's on TBS and it's cut to all hell, where I'm not gonna watch it.
Oh yeah, no, don't do that. It's like watching Beverly Hills Cop on TBS.
Right, exactly. Yeah, another movie that I like. This is sort of an honorable mention, which is Young Adult. This is her and Patton Oswalt, where she sort of plays the, you know, the that sort of unattainable sort of female high school girl that sort of we all knew in high school, that one person that was just sort of above everybody else. And then fast forward, I think this is their 15-year reunion, and the life did not turn out as it should for a person who was sort of at the top of their game in high school. And it's, again, independent movie, but she just, you know, you buy it. How she acts it and how she gets it. And again, it's one of, I don't know, it was a role that I didn't expect a whole lot out of her in, but then yeah, she makes this movie just really, really well. And then Patton Oswalt's in it and he's awesome. So, and he plays sort of the nerd that we all were in high school that, you know, that put this person on a pedestal, and then you see her at her worst 15 years later, and it's really good. Another role that she sort of killed in, which I didn't know until after I saw the movie, she was the voice of Morticia Adams in the last animated Adams movie that came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and dude,
she was in Kubo, too. She was the mother in Kubo.
That's right, yeah. But no, she, you know, like she throws down an accent for this, and she is just so good as Morticia Adams. And again, you hear the voice, but you just don't know that it's her.
Yeah,
which is great. And then I don't know if you guys saw this, but the quarantine version of Princess Bride that just came out.
Oh yeah, she plays. Mm-hmm. Who did she play? Yeah, that?
She's Fezzik during Fezzik, the right. Yeah. So if you can YouTube that scene, it's so good. I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes.
That's funny. Addie and I just watched the Battle of Wits scene.
Oh, nice.
The other day. That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Again, with our friend Patton Oswalt.
Yes. He does a great job in that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but Patton Oswalt's wife, Meredith Salinger, is in that as Count Reuben.
Yes, right.
Nice.
Yeah. Very cool. And that'll about do it for my list.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to over to Nate.
Cool. Well, I'll make it. I mean, two of mine have already been talked about, Devil's Advocate and Mad Max. I've already kind of said my piece there. So,
yeah, we'll
let those go. The first one on my list is Hancock, which was a total sleeper movie, but made like $700 million at the box office before superhero movies were popular.
Yeah.
Will Smith, Jason Bateman, obviously, Charlize Theron. Just a great, a really cool, like, superhero on its ear type movie. Will Smith is basically a drunken Superman.
Yeah.
In LA, in contemporary LA. And when he's not saving people and causing tons of collateral damage, he's in the bottle of Seagram 7 on park benches and bus stops. He just happens to save Jason Bateman's character, who's a real estate agent, or no, marketing agent, as he gets trapped on some train tracks in his car, and then goes home to meet the family, and the wife ends up being a superhero.
Super.
And they've been around for 3,000 years and have been reincarnated several times, or I guess were together in a past life and that kind of thing.
Right.
They end up, cool superhero fight with them. The reveal that she's a superhero is done really well, though, because
so good in that. Yeah,
Will Smith brings home a drunk Jason Bateman from something, I forget exactly what it was, and then Will Smith ends up kissing Charlize in the kitchen, and she throws him through the wall.
Yeah,
with the refrigerator.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's a really fun movie. I love her character in this. She's super strong and like don't fuck with Mama Bear kind of way.
Right.
And just kicks ass in her role. And I just love the movie in general. So,
yeah, no, you're totally right. This was sort of a sleeper out of nowhere movie that nobody really knew anything about when it came out. And yeah, it was awesome. I loved it.
Joe, any thoughts?
I actually never saw it.
Oh,
sorry, next time. We need to put together a list for Joe here.
Work.
Yeah, it's super good. You'll like it, Joe. It's really good. Okay, so next one, I put Atomic Blonde on here for a couple of reasons. One, because it was kind of the most recent action movie that she was in before Old Guard, 2017. And secondly, the story is done really well. She's a super most elite spy in MI6, and she basically has to kill a bunch of other spies, bring down an espionage ring, that kind of thing. And again, really great acting, really good action. James McAvoy is the male lead in that one.
Yeah.
Across from her. John Goodman's in it as her, I think it's her handler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just a really cool kind of spy thriller, almost a James Bond type movie. And funny enough, people are saying that she should be James Bond, or at least the new 00, because I know Andy doesn't want to hear anybody else as James Bond, which I agree with.
No, hey, if she's Jamie Bond, that's fine.
Well, don't, you know, just change the name. 007 should be the way it goes forward. Like,
right, the moniker. Not, but, well, yeah. No, I said this, it's a plot point of anyway, we don't have to get back into it.
Yeah, let's not go down that road.
Yeah, it's not a big deal if...
yeah, and continue, moving on. so the last movie I have on my list is Long Shot, which is a romantic comedy with her and Seth Rogen. And
such a good movie.
I love this movie to death. All of the supporting actors in this movie are absolutely hilarious. Andy Serkis is in it. Alexander Skarsgård, Odenkirk, like June Dane Raphael. Oh my God. It's hilarious. She's basically, I forget if she's Secretary of State or she's something running for like president.
Yeah.
She's running for president. I forget what she was before that.
Yeah.
And she's having problems with her speech writing. She runs into Seth Rogen. They went to high school together. He's a writer. So she's like, hey, you want to come write for the campaign? He's like, yeah, sure. You know, it's insanely hilarious. And they start like getting together because he's funny and she's used to stuck up assholes. And she ends up rolling at a club and then having to defuse a missile crisis with Iran when her pupils are dilated like the size of quarters.
The scene that sold this movie with me is when they finally have sex and they both come within like 30 seconds.
Right. Spoiler alert.
Oh man.
This movie is amazingly written. It has heart. It's funny. It has a little bit of drama in it, but damn it. I love this movie so much. And I'm glad I bought it on digital, I think. So nice. Good times. So if you haven't seen it, Joe, watch it.
Yeah,
we'll do.
So what is your homework?
Right.
Right
now my list for Joe is what, Hancock, 2 Days in the Valley, and
Long Shot. Did you see A Million Ways to Die in the West, Joe?
Yes.
I figured you would. How about Aeon Flew? Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I saw Aeon Flux.
Oh, that's a callback. Man. I'm sorry, I had to go there.
That's really good.
Good times.
Yeah. All right. So what are your favorite Charlize movies? What did you guys think of The Old Guard? Let us know on our Facebook. It's at the Rum and Regret Podcast. You can also let us know on Twitter at @rum_regret. Joe, where can they find you on the socials?
Joe Chickadee on the socials or joechickadee.com.
Nate, where can they find you?
Avid Gamer everywhere, AV1D Gamer. And also let us know if there's a movie you want us to watch and review, talk about, Netflix series, any of that stuff. We're open to new suggestions. If you have anything that's awesome that we haven't talked about yet that we need to watch, feel free to let us know.
Yeah. Speaking of, you're watching Cursed, Nate? Are you?
Finished. Yeah, finished.
How is it?
Great. It's interesting. There's some really interesting visual elements that help tie the storylines together. Very bloody, but it's Netflix.
Yeah.
really cool twist on the Arthur legend. That's kind of a prequel to that. And then also Floki from Vikings plays Merlin.
That's
Merlin
right.
in that show. And he kills it as Merlin. So
that's right. The lesser Skarsgård.
Yeah. All good reasons to watch it. Yep.
Nice. Okay. On Facebook, you can find me at Crazy Drake or Andrew Drake on Twitter. Once again, we are the Roman Regret Podcast. And until the next time, we have spoken.